morning. We're going to go ahead and get started this morning. We want to thank you for coming to be with us this morning. I want to welcome y'all in the name of the Lord. Thankful to be a beautiful day today. Seems to be we're heading to fall. I believe we're pretty much getting there quicker than maybe some people like if you're a summer lover. Don't get me wrong, I don't like winter, but I do enjoy fall. So I'm enjoying the drop in temperatures and what's that? There you go. There you go. I'll be honest with you, I ain't a big winter fan. I don't like shoveling snow. I hate it. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I can take a white Christmas and then see you later. Till next year. I agree. Amen. But we're going to get started here. We're going to be in the book of James today, chapter 5 eventually. But before we do so, as we like to do, we like to go to the Lord in prayer. So before we go to the Lord in prayer, I want to take any spoken prayer requests. Anybody got a spoken prayer request? Yes, ma'am.
Absolutely.
Someone else. Yeah. 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 Absolutely. Someone else? Yes, ma'am. Okay. Tracy? Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Someone else? Amen. Amen. Continue to pray for Josh and Kayla and baby. They got to come home. Everything's going good. I rode over and visited with them there a little bit there this week. And baby's healthy and mommy's doing good. Just a blessing. But continue to pray for them. Anyone else? Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Dewey? Bless your heart, brother. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Oh, my. Yeah. Mm-mm-mm. Amen. Someone else? Anyone else with spoken prayer requests? Bless your heart, brother. Amen. After yesterday, might want to pray for the West Virginia Mountaineers. I'm just kidding, but somewhat I'm kidding. Someone else. Anybody else with spoken prayer requests? Amen. Thank you. Remember groups? We start in a couple weeks, and then revival, obviously, 14th September. So, need to be in prayer for those. Anyone else? If not, let's go. Let's stand up. We're going to take these to the Lord in prayer. Pray over the service. I'm going to ask Brother Joe to lead. Amen. Good crowd this morning. We want to welcome you. The teaching this morning kind of spawned from a discussion I had Wednesday night with someone. We were talking a little bit about just about healing in general. And so the Bible lays out different ways, according to Scripture, that a person can be healed. We all know the Scripture. about, you know, agreeing as one, things of that nature. I truly believe in the gifts of the Spirit, where the Holy Spirit moves and someone can be healed. We know it's through faith and all those things. But also there's another way that the Scripture lays out for us to do it, a means, if you will, if you're sick, what we are to do with the church. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. Growing up, I come from a denomination. Growing up in that denomination, this was practiced quite a bit, actually, more so than any, to be honest with you. So when I was asked about that this past week, I naturally, you know, had a little bit to say about it, because practiced it all my life, and very familiar with it, very familiar with the Scripture and the process in general. And it's happened here. I remember specifically when Luke was sick, we did that. I was at work, and Tara called for the elders of the church, and they came down here alone and prayed. So, but we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. We're going to get there eventually. But how many people like the Book of James? Book of James is one of my favorite books of the Bible, and it's not very long, chapter-wise, scripture-wise, but it's one of my favorite scriptures in the entire New Testament. I think there's a whole lot of good stuff in the Book of James. There's a lot of encouragement. There's a lot of, and let's just be honest with you, he'll correct you in a second too. Okay, so in other words, there's a lot of good direction and information in the Book of James about different topics, about different subjects. But today we want to focus a little bit on something, because when it was asked to me, you know, it dawned on me, you know what? Maybe we ain't teaching on it enough, Vicki. You know, to be asked, if somebody wants to know, then there's other people who probably need to know. So that's what's got us here today. If I can get a volunteer to read for me, we're going to eventually get down to that scripture. But I'm going to start at the 7th verse of chapter 5 of the Book of James and go down to verse 12. Can I get somebody to read that 5? 7 through 12. You care, Z? Thank you.
Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. But ye also, patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay, lest ye fall into condemnation.
Amen. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. As we begin the scripture, it says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, to the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman," which is a farmer, okay? This is the King James. "Waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain." So when you begin to read that, it's important. I know in for us today, we're not as accustomed. Most of us don't make our living on farming, and agriculture there are still people that raise gardens, and so you may be a little bit more familiar with that. But by and large, our culture is not agricultural as it used to be years ago. So a husbandman being a farmer, gardener, if you will, someone that raises fruits and vegetables, not just for survival, but I mean, you know, in other words, he has to use those things to eat in general. That is their food. But he would also trade at the market and things of that nature. So it's his only means of income, okay? So that's important also. So be patient, therefore, to the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husband waited for the precious fruit of the earth, hath long patience for it, till he receives the early and the latter rain. Now, when we talk about early and latter rain, a lot of times Pentecostal things, we talk about the early and latter rains. We talk about spiritually, and the point being the early rain being Pentecost, the latter rain. Some people say in the end of days, the latter rains, and your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy and all those things. And that's, while that is absolutely true, I believe that. But what James is drawing a comparison here to is, what are they for? The early and the latter rains are for. The early rains would be something that took place in the months of October, November, that would begin to prepare the soil, okay? And then the latter rains would happen in the springtime, that would help aid the harvest when you would plant your crops. Now, how many of you folks know, just because school starts in August, summer is not over? Okay? Look, I know the temperature's changing. It seems like we're having an early fall and things of that nature. But for some reason, Pearl, in our Western society, our culture, we have tied summer with school. It's truth. That's what we've done. Summer starts beginning of June, ends, kids go back to school. Summer is longer than 2 months, okay? Summer is longer than 2.5 months, okay? By the calendar, summer is up until about, what, the 21st, 22nd of this month in general? Absolutely. And it don't start till what, the end of June, basically third week of June, okay? That being said, you're supposed to get a lot of rain up until July. Okay? You're supposed to. It's spring. Just because Easter was back in April didn't mean that was the end of spring. Okay? And that's what we do. We look at things that way. But the point of it is this. Right now is the driest time. And it's always like that every year. And you have this kind of rain, or this lack of rain, up until end of October, November, roughly. How many times have we seen in our mountains when people start hunting, you start seeing the fires, somebody drops a cigarette, whatever it is, and it gets lit up? Why is that? Because it's so dry. If it wasn't dry, that would never happen, Tommy. It wouldn't be, the whole mountainside wouldn't be on fire. You wouldn't see the Appalachian Christmas lights in fall. All in the mountains, you know what I mean? Like they're strung in the mountains and stuff. But it's like that because it's dry, okay? So in Africa, in the Middle East, so to speak, they don't necessarily have what, they don't really label it like we do, winter, spring, summer, fall. They'll call it the rainy season and the dry season. So right now is a dry season. But you need the early rain to come, okay? Because how many folks know, it don't matter, Bubby, if you was to go garden or plant any seed, if that soil is hard as a rock with dryness, it ain't going to do you a bit of good. Nothing. You're wasting your time, literally. So you have to have an early rain that gets that seed available to take root. Does that make sense? So that's what the early rain is, okay? That being said, Pentecost, we linking it to the early rain. So in other words, when the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost in the upper room with 120, and they went out and began to spread the gospel, the power of the Holy Spirit began to fall on different individuals as they get saved and are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Then guess what? All that root takes hold, and they go tell other people. They go tell other people. They go tell other people, and that's why 3,000 people are saved. And all of a sudden, that's the early rain. Now, spiritually, we're still waiting for that latter rain. And there's some people that will believe there's a great revival that's going to happen before Jesus comes back. And as Sister Kathleen was here just last month, she spoke of how many people is being saved throughout the world. Everywhere she goes, it's going on, Vicki. Just because we ain't seeing it here don't necessarily mean it's not happening. But the point of it is this. The Bible says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Okay? And it goes on and says, be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Establish means to turn resolutely, to set fast. Now, before we go into anything else about healing or anything like that, I think it's pretty important that James, right off the bat, and I know when I was growing up, I was taught this a lot. Every time I went to church when I was growing up, I heard about hell. Just telling you, I was born in 1977, I'm 48 years old. I don't believe there ever was a time I went to church that I remember, Tommy, that somebody didn't mention hell. I'm just being honest with you, folks. That was just the way it was. Everybody in the congregation could be saved, and the preacher was still preaching hell, fire, and brimstone. Right? Y'all know I ain't lying. That's just the truth, okay? That being said, do I think he's doing anything wrong? No, not any stretch of the imagination. But I do believe this. They felt wholeheartedly that about the most important thing was where you stood with the Lord. That was really the point of it. Are you right with the Lord? He could come back at any moment. Are you right with the Lord? That was the most important thing that they wanted to get across to any and everybody that came into that church. Okay? And you know what? There's a lot to be said about that. Because as you said here this morning, I'll ask you the same question. Are you right with the Lord? Because if you are not, he could come back at a moment's notice. We don't know when he's coming back. Matter of fact, the Bible says that no man knows the hour. No man knows the day. And one of these days, the Lord is going to come back. He's going to split the eastern skies. And whether you're ready to meet him or not, he's still coming back. That's not going to prevent his coming. So even though it's not said as much anymore as it was back when I was a kid, it's still an important factor that we need to keep on the forefront of our mind. And before James goes into anything about healing or anything else, he's saying, be patient until the coming of the Lord. He's bringing the coming of the Lord right up initially. So in other words, even though you got all these things that we're going to talk about, and James does go over, he's constantly revisiting the fact Jesus is going to come back. You need to be ready. Make sense? That's something he continually hits back on. So in other words, we got to establish our hearts. We got to set fast and turn resolutely. That's what that means. Establish means that. Be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. So why do we need to set our hearts and turn resolutely? What's that mean? I'm going to use a Western genre here. John Wayne genre. You're going to have to dig your heels in. Dig your heels in, folks. The coming of the Lord draws nigh. Why would you have to set fast, Vicky? Why would you have to dig your heels in? Because the devil is a roaring lion, is seeking whom he may devour. And until the Lord comes back, he's going to do it more and more and more. And the world's going to get more wicked and more wicked and more wicked. They're going to believe lies and be damned. And they're going to be turned over to reprobate minds and all those things. So you're in the middle of all this. You've got to establish your heart. You've got to make a decision. You know what? The Lord's coming back, and I'm not going to act like everybody else. That's it. That's it. So in other words, before we get into healing, me and my son was talking about this not long ago, probably within the last couple days, maybe a week. The Bible says in the book of James, everything works to the good for those that love the Lord or are called according to his purpose. That's what Scripture says. Now that being said, everything works to the good for those that love the Lord, right? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So we can't take that scripture and go, you know, everything works for the good for those that I love the Lord. Do you? Are you keeping these commandments? Because you ain't keeping these commandments, you're lying. Oh, we got quiet. It's truth. It's the truth. And if you don't love your brother who you haven't seen, how can you say you love God who you have seen? The Bible then calls you a liar. Right? That's what the book of John says, John's epistles. So in other words, everything works to give those that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. Yeah, absolutely. But we can't live like heathens and then expect God to bail us out. Come on. Now that being said, before we want to talk about healings, before we want to talk about, you know, getting a touch from God, we need to make sure we're in line with God. Before we start heading down that path, that's why I backed it up in reverse a little bit here and got to this part right here before we start talking about calling for the elders of the church. Now, that being said, God is able to heal people. And God does, God's ways are not my ways. It's so much higher than mine and his thought processes and all that. But listen, oftentimes we see it. And you know what? I know there's been times I've done it too, Terry. Have you ever tried to make a deal with God? You ever done it? Lord, if you'll let this work out, I promise, I'll do this. Loss is a ball in high weeds. Lord, if you let this turn out good, Lord, I'll go to church on Sunday. Lord, I'll go to that revival they've been aggravating me about. And then some people do uphold that deal they may have made. I ain't saying God made the deal with you, but you know, from where I come from, somebody makes a deal, both of them have to do that. It's true, right? And that's good if you follow up on that. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. Going to church, you told the Lord this and you did that. That's great. That's a wonderful thing. But that being said, the Bible says if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's plain and simple. And where I come from, talk's cheap. Actions speak louder than words. So if we love the Lord, we're going to look like the Lord. We're going to act like the Lord. We're going to walk with the Lord and all those things. So if we're going to establish our hearts, be patient, establish your heart for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh, we need to be right with the Lord before we start asking him of certain things, I believe, Teresa. If we're going to be his people, if everything's going to work for the good for those that love the Lord, then guess what? That will. I do believe that applies to us, absolutely. And there's times, as it was brought up here Wednesday night, we had a good discussion, we don't understand why things go on to good people. It don't make no sense to us. But we know it rains on the just as well as the unjust. God is still in control. And in the end, we're going to understand it all by and by. I truly believe that, Sister Vicki. I believe when we get to heaven, we're going to understand about that trial, that situation. God's so much bigger than us. But it says, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Now, we're talking about, before we go asking God for things here now, we need a healing. That was what we were talking about, me and this person Wednesday night. And that's good. I can't wait to get to that scripture. But I felt compelled to back up and go over this. Grudge not one against another. Here's the thing. Before I go making deals with God and asking God for stuff, I can't hold a grudge against my brother. That's what it says. Vicki, if I want God to intervene in my life, Pat, if I want God to move on this situation, God, I need you to move on my kids. God, I need you to move on my work. God, I need you to move on my job. God, you're needing an awful lot, ain't you? But maybe God needs you to repent. Oh, my. Man, he's supposed to be Sunday school teaching. That's the word, guys. That's the word. Grudge not. That means to make in straits, to sigh, murmur, groan, or grudge. So you ready for this? Ever been somebody walk in and you go, whew. That's a sigh. You ever heard somebody's name and you go, oh. That's a groan. You ever seen somebody walk by and go, man, I have a hard time. You're murmuring. Grudge not, it's what it says, don't it? See, that's why I like the Word of God. It'll keep you straight, folks. It'll keep you straight, it will. If we want God to clean us up, he'll clean us up. I'm going to tell you that right now. We just have to listen to his Word and obey the Spirit, amen? But if I'm in need, I've got to lay it all at the foot of the cross, folks. If I have a need for the Lord to meet, if I'm going to pray for revival, if I'm going to do this and do that as I preached last week, sometimes I need to pray and fast, don't I? So what's pray and fast doing? It brings you, it just gets everything out on the table is what it does. It exposes your weakness so that God can pour into you first and foremost, okay? You realize real quick how insignificant things are compared to the greatness of God. There's something about fasting that just lays it all on the table. You begin to quit relying on yourself and start relying on God. When you deny the basic human need of food, when you push it aside and you're saying, Lord, you know what? This matters to me. And you begin to deny your body that was created to eat. God created that. He knows what you need. He knows you're hungry, all those things. And you begin to pray, and instead of going and eating lunch, you go and pray at lunch. Or instead of doing something at supper, you go and pray and commune with God. Then all of a sudden, that time for the basic human need that you have to have is substituted with the need of the Spirit. Guess what? It gets God's attention. Quick. I truly believe that. Jesus fasted for 40 days before he started his ministry. If fasting wasn't important, Jesus wouldn't have thought of need to do it. Amen? And look, I'm not telling you when to fast. I'm not telling you how to fast. That's between you and the Lord. You be led of God. But when you do it, the Bible does make it plain, when you do it, don't be like the Pharisees Don't be like the publicans who make a big deal out of it. And what Jesus is saying, what they've done is they would fast. Oh my gosh. What's wrong with you, Teddy? Oh, I ain't eaten 4 days. I ain't had nothing in 4 days but water. What's wrong? You sick? No, I'm fasting. Fasting. I want to see such and such happen. I want to see so and so saved. You know what? You have your reward. That's what Jesus said. You have your reward. There's your reward. Okay? Don't let your left hand know what your right hand do and vice versa, things like that. So in other words, you wash your face. When people see you, they don't have any idea what's going on in your life. They got no idea that you're humbled at the feet of Jesus. But you know what? The God and the Lord of all lords sees in secret, and He'll reward you openly. That's what the Scripture says. That's what the Bible means. Okay? I like how Pastor Walker says, in this life, you're only going to get rewarded once for a job, not twice. Amen? If you want to do it for the Lord, you'll keep it quiet, and on that day, you'll get rewarded for it. If you want it brought to light now, then fine, you got your reward. You don't get nothing later. Amen? It's just the way it is. I like how he says that. But grudge not. Before we go into healings and stuff like that, we can't hold no grudges, okay? And it goes on, it says, take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering and affliction and patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord. This Lord is very pitiful. And of tender mercy. The word endure there, by the way, in the Greek, means to stay under. That is, remain, persevere, abide, suffer, tarry. In other words, ready for this? In the Greek, it means to kind of join yourself to the hip, is what that means. Okay? So if we're going to do those things, if we're going to endure, okay, we've got to attach ourselves to the Lord. Okay? In other words, it says, take my brethren's prophets, they have spoken to them as a suffer affliction, count them happy which endure. Happy which endure. Now, I used to hear this said a lot more times when I was younger, too. It's an enduring way. Speaking of your walk with the Lord, listen, folks, it's an enduring way. You're going to have to endure some things. I'm so glad I was born in the time that I was born in. I feel like I'm at the end of something. But at the beginning of another, I really do, because I still remember those times, and I still have, it's so deeply ingrained in me. But I heard the wisdom of those old saints, and they told me, and they poured into me, Vicki, of those things. It's an enduring way. You're going to have to endure some things. It ain't fair all the time. It's not right all the time. It don't make sense why these people prosper and these people struggle. I get it. I promise it's an enduring way. But it means to basically enjoin yourself with the Lord at the hip. You're going to follow Him no matter what. I'm going to trust in Him that even though it didn't work out for me right here, it's working out to my benefit in the long run. But it says, happy are you if you endure. So in other words, it pleases God when you endure trials and temptations. Do you understand that? Does it seem fair to us? No, it don't. But I'm going to tell you something my dad told me. And I've told my kids too, and I'll tell my grandkids this. Life ain't fair, son. Better get used to it. And I was told that. Now, does that make it any pleasant? And listen, medicine always tastes pretty bad. Sometimes you have to put a little bit of sugar to get it down. I understand that. I promise I get that. But sometimes life just ain't fair. You got dealt a bad hand. It seems wrong. But you know what? Lord, I'm going to trust you in this situation. I'm not going to fly off the handle and get mad and frustrated and cuss somebody out. I'm not going to allow the devil to let me murmur and complain and speak negative over the situation. Although, so whatever it is, but Lord, I'm going to join to the hip and I'm going to follow you. I'm going to fall in line. I'm going to fall in line with you. And I'm going to trust, Lord, that you know what? It's going to work out. And you know what the Bible says? Happy are you if you do those things. Blessed are you if you do those things. Why? Because it pleases the Father. Because you're not giving up, you're turning it over to Him. That's faith in action. Amen? That's faith in action. But it goes on because I got to get to what we talked about. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath. Let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Now this right here is a scripture that Jesus earlier talks about in the Beatitudes. Matter of fact, that's your yea, be yea, and your nay, be nay. So what's that mean? And I think this is important today. I think maybe it ain't taught like it used to be taught or said like it used to be said. Your word is your bond. Your word is your bond. If I give Ray my word, then it means something. If he gives me his word, it means something. If we give our account of a story, then it should mean something. And what I mean by that is this. I shouldn't have to swear that I saw this happen this way. I should be walking and living a life in that I'm walking with Jesus, and you can see that I walk with Jesus, that if I would look at you and say, Tara, this happened, you don't even doubt it. I believe it happened. Let your yes be yes, let your no be no. That means we're living a life with the Lord, we're walking with the Lord in a way that when we tell a story, nobody doubts it. You shouldn't have to swear. Matter of fact, you're not supposed to swear. That's what Jesus says. Matter of fact, I don't know, some of you know this, I'm a big civics guy. You don't have to swear on a Bible if you're called into court. Do you know that? You can affirm. You say, I affirm. Why? Because the Bible tells me not to swear. Just a little bit of civics there, by the way. The Bible says, swear not by heaven or earth. Matter of fact, we can't even make any of our heads on our hair, right? Gray. We ain't got that power. Amen? Even though Jesus has counted them all. But it says, as we talked about earlier, is any among you afflicted, let him pray. Is any merry, let him sing psalms. Is there any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now this is a scripture that, growing up, I'm going to explain it, how it was done when I was growing up, and it's still done today. But, apologetically, if you don't realize this, apologetically, I'll take the blame that I should have taught it more or clearly. If you're sick and you call for the elder of the church, there's a way to do that. There's elders here, Brother Lindsay and Joe, Vicky, some other people that means a presbyter, that means someone at a senior in the faith, Brother Charlie, I look at that, things like that. If I'm sick and I want to call for the elders of the church, go up to one of them. Go up to pastor, come up to me, and say, you know what, brother? I want to call for the elders of the church and be prayed for. I promise you this, because I've seen it. They'll come. They'll meet you here at the church. Or you come up to them before service and say, brother, before it's over, I want to call for the elders of the church. And I promise them, we'll come up and pray with you. It's laid out in Scripture. When I was growing up, that's how it was done. So in other words, what would happen is someone would come to church often and before the church started or whatever, and I've seen them just say it in the middle of church service. Brother so-and-so? Yes, Issy. I'd like to call for the elders of the church. And they'd go up front, and they'd anoint them with oil, and they'd pray over them. And the Bible says the prayer of the faith. Faith is what heals them. Not the oil. Not the oil. Not brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. The faith is what done the healing. But there was a way to do it. You understand what I'm saying? God can heal to the uttermost. He can heal somebody laying in a hospital bed. He can heal somebody at your bedside. Somebody can come lay hands on you and the Holy Spirit begin to move and God heal you and touch you. Matter of fact, God healed me one time and I give him the praise, honor, and glory at an altar out there at the old sanctuary. My back was bothering me. Couldn't hardly move. Many times it was just constantly going out. Brother Joe, constantly going out. And I'd walk like this for a week. They actually have a term for that. Some kind of lean, they call it, or something. And it happens with your disc and stuff. But anyway, and it was getting hard to work, Tommy. I was having to drag myself to work. And I remember going to get into, I had a little Ranger at the time. It was still dark outside. I was going to work early. It was a little bit cold. And I opened the door to go get in, and it hit me. And I froze. And I leaned against that truck. And I remember looking, just stretching, trying to do this right here against that little truck and looking up, and it was still dark and the stars was out. I said, Lord, I need your help. I've got to provide for my family. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. So I dragged myself to work. That Sunday when we came to church, it was a Sunday evening service out there. Holy Spirit gets to moving, and I felt led to go. You go to the altar and pray. And I went and prayed. I can take you to the spot I was at out there. And I began to pray in the Spirit. As I did, I knew the Spirit. I pray in tongues, but I'll pray with my understanding also. He told me, lay hands on it. Nobody come and laid hands on me, but I laid hands on my back. And you know what? He healed my back. From that day forward, he healed my back. I'm telling you. So there's, God can heal in many ways, but oftentimes we discount what the book of James says. So I'm here today to let you know, if there's any sick among you, you can call for the elders of the church. As I shared before, when Luke was sick, when we ended up getting that, what was that stuff called? RSV, thank you, the initials. When he got that RSV, before they took him to the hospital, called for the elders of the church. They come down here and prayed. I was at work. It still happens. Even if you don't see it, it still happens. But I want you to know that it is biblically accurate, biblically true, and biblically available to you. You understand that? That's the most important thing. Why I felt led to go over it a little bit today. Because you know what? God can heal you. Okay? God will heal you. And one thing the book of James says, if there's any that is merry, let him sing psalms. In other words, man, if you're happy, if you're doing good, sing, praise the Lord for it. That's wonderful. Amen? But if there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders. In other words, get those people up around you that have walked the walk, have fought the fight. Let them anoint you with oil, and the prayer of faith will heal you. That's what it says. Now, that being said, no offense to nobody. God bless you. I love everybody here. If you don't think I can be healed, and I'm calling for the elders of the church, you keep your hind end back there. I'm just telling you. I love you. I love you. But I'm telling you right now. And that being said, I don't think your lack of belief is going to stop me from being healed anyway. But I'm just telling you, if you don't want to come into agreement with you, you just sit back there and pray for me. Just stick your hand out. Okay? You just stick your hand out if you want to. Maybe faith will get to you a little bit, and it'll grow a little bit, and you'll be able to begin to believe that. Sister Z?
Well, Jesus didn't have no problem with putting out people.
That's right.
He put
them
out.
Yes, he did. Yes, it is.
I think that it's wonderful that this is available for people. I do feel some people would be hesitant to ask for the, you know, to bother.
Sure.
The elders to try to come together.
Sure. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And but I do believe that, I mean, I don't know if I believe it or not, but I think that, like you said, if you don't believe, then you stay back there.
That's just me being a little bit blunt there.
I mean, Jesus can do anything.
Yeah.
But I do think that somebody that really don't believe, you know, there's no point in you laying hands on me.
Right.
You
know, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Believe,
yeah.
Faith
sure. Sure. Absolutely. And there's a lot to be said when believers come together. I truly believe that. We encourage one another and things of that nature. And when two agree as one, touching anything on here. And I believe all that. You know what I mean? But the point of this morning is to go over the scripture and to let everybody know, if there's any sick among you, feel free at any time to call for the elders of the church. You're not going to bother anybody. I promise you that. They'll meet you here, whether it's on a Sunday or not, or during the service. You talk to Pastor Walker before the service or whatever. Brother Joe, Lindsay, you go up to him. They'll go, Pastor, let me know. Sister, it doesn't matter. You go let Liz know. And you know what? They'll go, Pastor, so-and-so wants to call for the elders of the church. And I promise you, he'll work it in. I promise you, he'll work it in. You'll not be out of order, and you'll not bother nobody. You understand me? And there's been plenty of times when I was growing up when this was done, as Terry probably knows, very familiar with it as well. But you know what? One would call for the elders of the church, there'd be other people. They wasn't the only one up there, I promise you. As when I was growing up, what would often happen, this was just what happened then. It was right then. If you don't have to do it by the book the way they done it, is what I'm trying to say. But they'd sit on the altar. And sometimes they wasn't enough altar for hind ends that was sitting up there. You know what I'm saying? In other words, you know, brother so-and-so, I need to be anointed too. and they'd take a seat right beside Sister So-and-so. Then Sister So-and-so would come, and they'd take a seat. You know what? Ain't nothing wrong with that, folks. That's biblical. You understand? That's biblical. And what they're doing is they're saying, you know what? I don't feel well. I don't know why I can't get over this, but I don't feel well, and I believe God can touch me. I'm going to do what the Bible says, and I'm going to call for the elders of the church. You know what? There's power in obedience. What did we talk about Wednesday night? There's power in obedience. And ready for this? Here, and then it even goes on and says this, which I love. It says, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And it goes on and it says, ready for this? Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So you ready for this? Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that ye may be healed. So you call for the elders of the church. You've done what you've done. Confess your faults one to another. Now I ain't telling you to come in here, stand up, and start airing out your dirty laundry. That ain't what that means. But you know what? There might be something that's bothering me. There might be something spiritually that's bothering me. And I can go to a brother, a trusted brother, sister in the Lord, and say, sis, brother, I don't believe I've been as faithful as I should have been. Confess your faults one to another. Have prayer. Brother, I tell you, let's pray about it. Pray one for another that you may be healed. In other words, get the skeletons out of the closet. Amen, Brother Joe.
I said this before, and I mean, when I was going through some spiritual battles, stuff like that, I mean, Brother John was telling us what people had to do.
Yeah.
Honestly, I talked to him for an hour or so. He's talking about helping me through.
Absolutely. He's absolutely.
And I consider him a great man.
Absolutely. There you go.
And, you know, when I have a problem, that's my hope.
I got you. Yes, sir.
That no matter what I say, they're going to be spoken by the men and God.
Amen. Yeah.
And I think the same that he feels the same about.
Amen, Brother Joe.
But, you know, if you are having a problem, everybody needs sometimes somebody to lean on.
Amen, brother.
You know, I don't care how strong you think you
that's
are.
That's right.
Or whatever.
Yes, sir.
Stuff,
amen.
Human,
that's right.
And sometimes you just need that leaning
on. Amen. Sure. Yeah. That's right, brother. That's right. Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's confessing your faults one to another. You go to a brother or sister in the Lord, and you deal with that. And that trusted elder, that trusted individual, you know what I mean? Now, all of a sudden, here's what happens, okay? If I go to Brother Terry and I do that or whatever, and me and him just having that one-on-one, we have prayer before we leave, can I tell you something now? I promise you this. When I leave, I'm not the only one that's on their mind with. You don't think that made an impression on him? You don't think now he's going to pray more fervently for me? Because in the very next part of the verse said, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And that means an active prayer. In other words, you don't just pray it and leave it. So in other words, I promise you, later on in the day, and we've had that discussion, he's going to remember that again, and he's going to go, you know what, I'm going to pray for him again. And I'm going to pray about it again. So now you've got effectual, constant, active prayers going on about a situation. And as we've talked before plenty of times, when we pray, what happens? It comes up before the throne of God like a sweet savor. And can you imagine when you... And that's why I love, I love the Facebook Helping Hands. I want as many people that'll pray to the Lord for me as possible. Why? Because that sweet savor is constantly coming up before God. Those petitions are being made before the Lord. Effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And it goes on, it uses, because I'm running out of time, it even uses Elijah as an example that he prayed for 3.5 years, it didn't rain. And then he prayed and it rained again. Now you know how he knew to pray? He was led of the Lord. But can I tell you something else he also knew? He knew by the word of God that Israel, if they would be obedient to God and follow him, that God promised them he would give them the latter rains, the former rains, and the harvest would come good. But if it did not, God warned them. So guess what? He prayed the will of God according to the Word of God. That's important. The last thing I want to touch on before I get down here. I don't care how much you want something. If it's against God's Word, you can't pray for it. You're wasting your time. The fervent prayers of righteous men availeth much, absolutely, but we must be in the will of God. His Word lays it out there, lays it plain. It's important that we follow the Lord. Don't act like heathens. Everything works for the good for those that love the Lord. Yeah, if you love me, keep my commandments, by the way. Okay? Can't grudge, can't hold grudges. Can't murmur, complain, and sigh when somebody walks in and think, oh, Lord's going to heal me. Woohoo! Really? You a heathen. What you are. Plain simple. But if there's any sick among you, you know what? I'm going to call for the elders of the church. And we're going to come together and we're going to pray about this. And God's going to move. I really believe God can heal me. You ready for this? Confess your faults one to another. What's been hindering me? As you said, Lord, you know, brother so-and-so, I've been going through some things and I need to talk to you about it. Confess your faults. Pray one for another. And do it constantly, actively. Because the fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. If you're here today and you didn't know that, you know it now. Okay? We want you to know, if you need prayer to be healed, contact somebody before service starts at any time. I promise you, meet you here for prayer, privately if you prefer that. We can pray at some, Pastor Walker will work it into the service. I promise you that. If there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, anointing them with oil. Okay? That's biblical. And it's important that you understand it's available to you. Amen? God bless you.